This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by the flying Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
You were doing a little plane sort of thing there, so I thought I'd call you the flying Kate Campbell. And we will be flying today, because we've got lots of fun questions for you, including one that Mum, just before we started, Mum went, now this is a big paragraph, Digger, are you sure you're going to be all right reading this?
He's dyslexic, dear listener.
Yes, I am indeed. Which, you know, the good thing, through the power of editing, you guys have no idea about, but I am dyslexic. Mum is showing off at the moment her Real Sex Education mug. My face is staring, my mug is staring my mug in the face. And now Kate is showing her side of the mug. We're both on there. Do let us know again if you like the idea of the mugs, everyone. I'm really enjoying the idea of that, of doing a competition. We still haven't had time to have that production meeting about what the question will be, but we'll think about it. And from then on,
T-shirts.
Oh, God, yeah. Tote bags. Yeah, coasters.
Coasters.
Yeah, I like the idea of coasters.
I'd love to stick a mug on your face.
Have I shown you yet my coaster?
Can you tell me what that is? That is a Hugh Grant coaster. That's the one where he was arrested, isn't it? That's his mugshot.
It's his mugshot when he was arrested for
things.
Yeah, for things. Look it up.
Lumpa.
Oh God, you're good. Okay, amazing.
Lumpa.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Just a quick thing as well for the visual watchers and people at home. Mum, you're wearing what can only be described as a lovely turtleneck. I feel like it's really quite a comfy vibe in the studio today. Yeah. I'm wearing maybe the top of a Yeti.
That is what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like the furriest hoodie in the world. And it actually reminded me, we got someone messaged in on Spotify. Official.sunny on Spotify said, I do actually fall asleep to this podcast. I enjoy the content and I find the two people talking very comforting. How sweet is that?
Oh, we sent them to sleep.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know how to think about this, because there's another podcast that I know where the guy, he's really into metal detecting. But I think he's also a comedian. Have I told you about this?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, the podcast is doing really well. But it turns out that basically it somehow got out in the online that the podcast is perfect to fall asleep to, because it's a man crunching around like on gravel and you know, mud and stuff, and just beep beep. So actually it's just a perfect episode to fall asleep to. And he was like, oh great, I thought we were here for the riveting chat and great banter. But however you guys listen, actually that'll be the question on Spotify for this episode and everything else. How do you guys listen to the podcast? I'd be so interested to know, whether it's in the car, in the bath, over dinner.
I'll bet loads of people listen in the bath or the shower.
Yeah. Yeah. I love listening to music in the shower. That's my big thing. I've gone through about 46 portable speakers. But it's nice. Anyway, right. Speaking of portable speakers, I am the portable speaker today, and I'm going to go for this big, fat paragraph. Now, if you're about to fall asleep, this is going to be perfect, because it's just going to be me speaking for the next 40 minutes whilst I get this paragraph out. But today is a masturbation special. We've got lots of questions on masturbation, and this first one might be my favourite ever. Let me make it bigger at the very least. It's so long, but here we go. I I'm a 36 years old gay man. Again, I'm reading verbatim. He does say 36 years old. I'm a 36 years old gay man. I haven't had penetrating sex yet as top because when I tried to do it once, long time ago, I was embarrassed for not getting hard enough. I never tried again. When I tried to bottom once, it wasn't pleasurable for me, so I didn't do it again either. Back to the topic of me trying to top. Prone masturbation, rubbing my dick against the bed, came naturally to me since I was a kid. I didn't know then that it's a way of masturbation. At age 13, I ejaculated for the first time while I was doing it. Since then, I do it at least twice a day. Recently, I had a limited budget to go for an intensive surrogate partner therapy for a week to figure out why I can't get hard enough when I want to have an intercourse with another man and be the top man. I understand that intercourse isn't the only way of sexual pleasure, but I wanted to explore the specific reason of not getting hard enough. During the therapy, there was a solo exercise for me to play with my dick whilst having lubricant, and when I get hard, I practice putting on a condom. I couldn't get hard enough to put a condom on while playing with my dick by hands and watching the same type of porn I'd masturbate to. The surrogate and the therapist connected the dots for me. I have conditioned my muscles and nerves to get excited and ejaculate by a type of movement, prone masturbation, which engages muscles and nerves in a way that's different from that of intercourse, thrust. Those who are used to hand masturbation do similar movements to the thrust of intercourse, so the problem is less severe. Because my budget was limited, I couldn't proceed with that therapy. The therapist told me that there are ways to break conditioning to prone masturbation, but it's not going to be easy. Example, committing to not masturbate again, using prone, and only to masturbate by hands, etc. I'm writing to ask you your opinion, please. Thank you both. Love heart emoji. Is there a way to uncondition myself from ejaculating by prone masturbation and instead condition myself to ejaculate by the common way of masturbation using my hand and a thrust movement?
So there's two things here. And yes. Well done.
You thank read it you. All the way wow. through. Hopefully people have drifted off to sleep now. And the rest of the podcast, it will just be me and you.
No, we want them to listen. So two things. One is masturbating twice a day. Is quite a lot. So I'm thinking, you know, not there's anything wrong with that, but I wonder if this person is using masturbation as a way of comforting themselves, whether they're using it to self-regulate. Because if they are, then they need to think about other ways of regulating their emotions. And and this sounds like somebody, they're asking this question and then they seem very unsure about what they should be doing, how they should be feeling. They're not, there's a sort of lack of confidence there. So it may be that some help with just getting through the day and noticing other things that regulate you would be really helpful. We were talking recently, so do listen in if you haven't already, about delayed ejaculation.
Yeah.
When people have an idiosyncratic masturbatory style. And the one of the most common is exactly this, rubbing yourself against the bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a rub, not a thrust. And I mean, anything where you're using very little movement has the same, you know, it's not comfortable to have a big hand holding onto your or a mouth around your penis or have it inside a vagina. It's not the same feeling at all.
Yeah, you want a rub, not a
You want a free penis, really, is what you want. And if you're putting it in something, that's not really working. So it is no different though, this, from any other kind of sex therapy where you've got into a habit. So if a couple, for instance, always do the same moves, the minute they start those moves, their brain goes, oh, this isn't going to work, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to the same place. You go this move, then that move, then this move, then that move, then that. So it's just the same thing. So the way to engage this guy's brain is to have sex with the bed rather than with a person or his hand. So his brain automatically goes, oh, righto, I know what's required here, and gets on with it. And when he tries different ways, his brain is not engaged. It's much more difficult for that to happen. So most sex therapy programs will take you right back to basics, to non-sexual touch, and build up a new set of neural pathways for the brain to get used to. And the brain might get used to not being used to anything, you know, waiting to see what happens. But you rewire your brain basically so that it's not using what are known as, officially known as, the quick and dirty routes.
Oh.
Yeah, the routes that the brain uses very often are called quick and dirty. And so if the brain automatically gets a cue and goes to a particular place, it's used a quick and dirty route. You can rewire that. And that's what sex therapy does. So whether it's sex therapy as an individual, where you're given ways of touching yourself, which are different, and you do that over a period of time and retrain your brain, or whether you do that with a partner or a bit of both, it will still rewire the brain. So this is not an uncommon problem. It's not something to get really worked up about and think is never going to work. It will. And it's my bread and butter, this sort of thing. So
yeah.
So nil dust brandom, I would say, you know, maybe try a sex therapist. If not, there is a book called by Bernie Zilbergeld.
Oh, I thought you were going to promote your own book then.
Called The New Male Sexuality.
Oh, yes.
And it's the old male sexuality because it was written in the 90s, but it's a really good book. And it talks about this sort of thing. So that might be helpful if you can't afford sex therapy. And do talk to your GP, though, because there should be NHS sex therapy available too.
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, that sounds great to me. Yeah, like we say. Also, I mean, could it be as well that the masturbating twice a day as well, would that be, could that also be affecting the ability to get hard in like with partner sex?
Yeah, there is, I mean, there have, oh, 36. Yeah, so another thing we talked about, getting to the age where you're probably having to wait a bit longer before you can get an erection again, before you can come again as well. So, you know, yeah, that would, you wouldn't be so interested in partnered sex. This is you've learned a reliable way of getting off. So you've got, you know, so the other ways are not going to be as interesting, or you might even be a bit frightened of the other ways because you don't know them.
So
it's all about starting again.
Okay, well, wonderful. Let's have this one. Let's start again on a new question. Here we go. Whenever I try to masturbate with my own hands, I don't feel a thing. Is it normal, or could it be caused by my illness? And then underneath they said, woman, bisexual, and in brackets, depression, anxiety, and panic disorder. I guess those are the illnesses they're referring to.
Certainly antidepressants can interfere with sensation and arousal.
Wow. Yeah.
So absolutely. Mm. And anxiety and panic, absolutely. If you're frozen, you know, with fear and anxiety, then you probably, you know, or busy worrying about what you're doing and whether it's good enough, then yeah, you're not going to get very far. Do you know Masters and Johnson, who sort of invented sex therapy?
Yeah.
The couple. They came up with the idea of performance anxiety and spectatoring, what they called spectatoring, where you're kind of watching yourself having sex going, is that good enough? And if you're doing that, then you're not in your body. And this is why most people who come to sex therapy need to get out of their heads and into their bodies. And we're always saying this on this podcast, aren't we? Out of your head, into your body. And so this person is probably very much in their head, not in their body. So it's worth getting any meds you're on checked with your GP to see if they can interfere with sexual functioning. And also maybe do some mindfulness and relaxation exercises and things like that. And start noticing your body rather than your thoughts.
Yeah. Get turned on by the sensations and feelings that you can feel rather than trying to get your head to do all the work and work overtime to.
And if you Google them, there are loads of mindfulness exercises which help you to notice, you know, sensations.
And I'm always talking about the pen and the hands.
The pen and the hands. You're waking up. Yeah. Waking up the hands. Yes.
Waking up the hands. Dr. Betty Martin, look it up, or listen to our episode on consent where we talk to her and we talk about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's bloody great. Mm. Okay. Well. Wow, we're flying through these. This is wonderful. Let's come back. We've got a few more questions after this, but let's have a little break and then we'll finish them off. Oh, God.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. We're here to finish off the questions for this masturbation special. Here we go. We've got two that are quite similar here, so I thought we'd just roll them into one. This one is from an 18-year-old guy from India who says, is watching porn a sin because we derive pleasure from seeing someone else, meaning it's not wrong to look at a stranger? Let's try and unpack that in a second. But this one's from Instagram as well. It says, hi, how do I overcome religious guilt associated with masturbation?
It's difficult.
Is it a sin?
It's not a sin. No,
good.
Definitely
just
not.
Just got to get that out. Yeah, get that out there now. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, people may have their own personal beliefs about things, but you know, generally, anything that allows you to have sex which is meant to happen has got to be good. So the idea of religious guilt, it's a problem for a lot of people, or hang-ups around sex and whether or not it's okay, are common, very, very common. And sometimes people need to do something like role play so they can not be themselves, so they can enjoy sex but not as themselves. So that's very helpful.
Yeah.
But very often people watching porn will identify with what they're watching. And so, again, that's a bit like being a bit removed from it. But, you know, it's difficult to know what would be most helpful for these people. Again, it might well be that new male sexuality would be useful for these guys.
That book.
To see. But you know, again, sex therapy might be very, very, very helpful. In relationships, you generally speaking, most religions are very chilled about masturbation if it is seen as a means to an end in order to enable you to have sex with a partner as well, even if they don't like the idea of masturbation. And very often the reason that masturbation isn't favoured is because it's thought of as wasting
your seed. You
want people to breed, and so you're encouraging that rather than masturbation. Because even long ago, when a lot of religious texts were written, there were people who preferred masturbation to partnered sex. It's always been a thing. So it's not all down to porn, guys. It has always been a thing.
Yeah. Well, the religious guilt, I feel like that's a personal journey, I suppose, that you've got to square away. I think that's, and like you say, sex therapy is something would be helpful. Reading books and stuff would be helpful.
I mean, it sometimes helps to just unpack your thoughts around it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because these things go very deep, and we've talked about rewiring the brain. Again, if you feel aroused and you automatically quash that feeling and feel terribly guilty and feel it shouldn't be happening, then you know that it's very, very hard to rewire your brain without a bit of assistance.
Yeah.
But generally, when people find a loving relationship, or they feel that what they're doing is actually making them feel well, you know, that they appreciate that masturbation is good for them. Sometimes that helps a bit, but really you might need a bit of help from a therapist if it goes really deep.
Exactly. I'm trying to unpack that first one. Was that, is watching porn a sin because we derive pleasure from seeing someone else, meaning it's not wrong to look at a stranger? Have you got any clue what that I mean, I'm guessing that's like watching porn.
Well, I think they're thinking you should only be seeing naked bodies or sexual behavior from somebody that you're married to, or you know,
yeah, you're in a relationship with. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
looking at a stranger,
yeah,
it would not be okay.
Yeah,
for that person.
Yeah, and again, like you say, that's about squaring that away with yourself and what you're comfortable with, and then working through what you're comfortable with, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, really difficult, because if you've been brought up to believe something, or if you've had that reinforced a lot through your culture or behaviours, I mean, it might just be something in your family, then a really good example of how this can happen kind of inadvertently is people commenting on teenagers' bodies, for instance, the family saying, "Oh, isn't Diggory coming along nicely? Look at his pecs." You know, I mean, if you were to say...
No one's ever said that.
No. But, you know, if somebody was saying that, particularly when they say it to girls, actually, I mean, they, you know, comment on their curves and things. And, oh, what a good looking boy. It won't be long before he has a girlfriend. You know, those kinds of comments are really not helpful, really not helpful, because they can make people feel that there's something wrong with what they're doing. Or that they're being too forthcoming sexually, or that people are noticing them developing when they're actually very self-conscious about that and they don't want people noticing their bodies, and it can put them right off. So they will then shut down. And I have seen that happen so often.
Yeah,
and it's well-meaning comments by your auntie or something can absolutely put you off sex.
Yeah, and that's similar to... let's say actual codified religious stuff saying that masturbation is wrong. Those sorts of comments can embed themselves in you, and then you start feeling guilty about any sort of sexual activity or whatever. Interesting. Okay, well, lots to think about there. Let's have one more question. Another paragraph, not as big as the first, but here we go. I absolutely enjoy and adore masturbating to the point that I do it nearly every day. I have noticed that I sometimes struggle to keep my erection towards the end of it when I'm about to climax, especially if I stand up. I'm usually sitting in my bed when doing it, and I go to the washroom so that the cleanup is easier. I've also noticed that I have trouble keeping up erections when wearing a condom. Should I be worried about any physical or mental issues, and can I do something to improve it? Also, am I doing it too much? Some additional context: I usually do watch porn during masturbation. It's a combination of audio, video, and written smut, but mostly video. I have a sex toy, a cock ring, and I did enjoy using it, but I kind of got bored of it. I get bored really easily. Tongue out emoji. I also sometimes suffer from low blood pressure. I'm a 23 cis male bisexual from India. For Kate, I'm getting a chicken biryani for dinner. I hope I can send you a picture. Yeah, oh my God, that's really sweet.
Send me a picture. Thank you so much. I would love that.
Just for people that don't know, really quickly, Mum has asked for people to send in their dinners to us. I did try on the Google form to put a picture thing up there that you could upload your pictures, but it starts getting weird about Google Drives, and you have to sign in and we have to sign in, and it sort of ruins the whole anonymous vibe of it. So, but what you can do, please do keep doing this, and tag either send them directly to the Real Sex Ed at the RSC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok.
or TikTok. No, I got it wrong.
It's one of those X. Hang on a minute. Send us your pictures on Instagram, TikTok, or X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
We are at the RSC Pod. Send us your pictures there. Either you can like DM them to us or tag us. Even better, that'd be amazing.
Yeah,
Post them and tag us. That'd be perfect. And we'll always reshare them. And Mum will have she can do a little review of them. But Mum loves pictures of lunches and dinners and all that sort of stuff.
Also, I quite like shopping. I quite like looking at people's shopping.
Okay, so we want shopping as well. Like, we're talking groceries, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
amazing.
Not cock rings and dildos.
No.
Not so keen on those.
But so basically, thank you very much. That chicken biryani sounds brilliant. Send us pictures next time you have one. Thank you for the question.
Nice
Mum,
bit
take
of
nard
bread. And,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, am I supposed to answer the question now?
Yeah,
well, there are a lot of questions there, actually, aren't there? The thing is, this is all about solo sex, isn't it? And it's all about and it feels as if there's a little bit of concern about being caught, you know, that they're having to jump up and run to the bathroom
That kind of ruins the vibe.
It does a bit. I mean, I'm wondering if he thinks that standing up lowers his blood pressure and maybe that makes a difference. So it might do. I mean, if you stand up suddenly and your blood pressure drops and you feel all woozy, it might be hard to maintain an erection. And the erection is dependent on the blood being trapped inside your penis.
Yeah.
But the not being able to keep your erection when you put on a condom, things like that, that's much more likely to be psychological. So it's much more about, you know, sort of interrupting the flow, interrupting the fantasy or whatever it is, and then feeling very self-conscious. So we don't know the context for putting on a condom. Is the condom being put on when you're on your own and so that you don't have to run to the bathroom? Or is it when you're with a partner? Because that's a whole new thing.
That's psychological element of that.
I mean, but, you know, particularly if you've, as you know, if you've got a way of masturbating that you're used to and you have a process you follow, is quite, you know, the jump to being with a partner, it feels very different and very weird. And that's going to increase any feelings of anxiety you have about being with a partner.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you are with a partner, I would build up to intercourse gradually and do more messing around. And you're bisexual, so there are going to be different situations with different people. But don't rush to penetration. Just you know, look at other things first. And even just a nice little snog.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But interesting that, so sometimes I struggle to keep my erection towards the end of it when I'm about to climax. Is there, I mean, obviously they said, especially when they stand up, but that maybe makes sense if they're thinking about rushing away and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And if they had low blood pressure.
Yeah, but I mean, if there's guilt or concern about climaxing as well, I mean, if you're worried about, if you're worried about making a mess and people finding out what you've been doing, then that's a total passion killer, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. So maybe that's why that things are interesting. And with so this might be a subject that's quite big to discuss, but I, you know, you hear a lot of guys say, oh, you know, condoms suck, and I get softer when I have to put them on, all that sort of stuff. Would you suggest in this scenario, perhaps, to train yourself to be back into condoms, to use them when masturbating? Is that a good idea? It might help this guy out because then he doesn't need to run off to the toilet all the time. It might be an expensive hobby, but, you know.
It might well do. Or he could just use a sock.
Quite American Pie, that.
Yeah.
I just feel it's such a, yeah, I don't know why. That's always, the, I know that kind of makes sense, but it's the most, that for me, I don't like that. But, you know, whatever. It's
up we're not talking about you. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You do your own thing. We don't need to know. The thing is that this is somebody who seems to be having a lot of masturbation and not so much relationship sex, and also thinking of masturbation as a way of regulating their mood. So it may well be that when they do have a relationship, and they, if they take it nice and gradually and with somebody nice, then they'll settle down and stop worrying about these things so much.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds nice. I also like the idea, I don't know why, I love that question. It's a combination of audio, video and written smut. I just never hear the word smut enough. Love it.
Yeah, it's
absolutely
a great, moist smut. Yeah.
Oh, that's a horrible word.
Oh, no.
What's that?
Moist smut.
Oh, God, that sounds like, moist smut sounds like a, I don't know, like a detective or a, someone's.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know
detective
what I mean? It sounds
smut.
Like a code name. It's like moist smut. Anyway,
but
there you go.
This person is very focused on masturbation, and you know, maybe I mean, they should get out more and, you know, develop some relationships.
Christ, just coming out with
there. This is clearly a lovely person. Anybody who's willing to send me a picture of their chicken biryani
is a complete legend.
Person,
but they've got to get out more, according to you.
Well, they might have more fun.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, wonderful. Well, on that bombshell, it's time to end. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And please, like I say again, tag us in your pictures of your lunches, your dinners. There doesn't need to be anything remotely sexual about them or relationship-y. Mum just loves them, and she will love seeing them all. So keep sending those in. Guys, we're having so much fun. Like I say, follow us wherever you're listening to this now. Whether you're watching this now, if you're on YouTube, subscribe, leave us a comment, give us a like. If you're on Apple, if you're on Spotify, give us 5 stars. Go to our show page, you'll find out how to do that. The rest of you, we will see you next time for some more Real Sex Education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.